Champions, for years I read every self-development book, took courses on happiness and art of living, and worked with peak performance coaches. But when I found Dr. Rao, he blew everything else away. He humbly calls himself just a FedEx guy, explaining that he simply takes the ancient wisdom of teachers and delivers it to humanity in a modern language. And he does an incredible job. His books are bestsellers. His TED Talk, Plug Into Your Hardwired Happiness, has over 1 million views. For a reason. He's a professor who has taught at top business schools and now privately mentors elite entrepreneurs and executives. After having him on my laptop and ebook reader screens for 2 months, I finally decided to reach out, and then BAM! It turned out he's a huge chess fan. Maybe that's why I got the reply. Yesterday we had a long and insightful conversation, and at the end he also kindly agreed to come on the Chess Mood podcast. Dear Dr. Rao, or Uncle Rao, as I call you, I know I know how busy you are, how many people are trying to reach you, and I appreciate it so deeply that you find time to come to Chess Mood podcast and share your insights, share your wisdom you accumulated during the years with Chess Mood family and our champions. Thank you very much for coming.
It's entirely my pleasure, Evo. I'm very glad to be with you.
A few days ago, yes, I read that I read your articles that you are playing with your grandson, who was asking you to play a little bit weaker, and there was a lesson in that. And now, after a few days, you are at chess podcast. Who could imagine how this life works?
yes, indeed.
Uncle Ram, I have so many questions. Part is somewhere around chess and psychology, somewhere pure around life. And I want to start with this one. I was watching one of your lessons today. It was a very interesting one. It was about, the title was, What Counts is What's Inside You. And correct. You had this that if you have anger, if you are angry, whatever the event is that you are angry, whatever there happened, you are angry because there is anger inside you.
Correct.
Did yes. I understand correctly that it is true for also the other emotions?
Yes. It's true of every emotion. It's inside you and it comes out. And sometimes you're also manufacturing it so that there is more of it and it comes out.
Okay, so when I'm playing chess and I am blundering very badly, doing a huge mistake, and I'm losing the game, and I'm very, very angry after the game, I just resign, and I cannot breathe, I'm very angry. Is it because I had anger already in me?
Oh, yes. Or the propensity to anger already inside you.
And emotions, how do you accumulate this?
Emotions are very strong, Evo. Let me tell you something you're probably familiar with. If you remember way, way back in the 60s when Bobby Fischer was at his prime and he was vying to be the challenger for the World Chess Championship, he had an unbelievable string of success. He played Bent Larsen and beat him 6-0. He played Tigran Petrosian and beat him 6.5, 2.5. You don't have that kind of a result in that level of chess. And there was something that people called Fischer fever. And people would actually lose the game even before the first move was played. Because there was fear. There was fear inside them, and Fischer's overbearing personality added to that fear. Okay? Let's go further. When IBM came up with Deep Blue, Kasparov beat Deep Blue, then IBM came up with Deeper Blue. Now, Kasparov had the same effect on his opponents that Fischer did, maybe not as strong, but the same type. And many times when people were playing Kasparov, they were so intimidated that they also lost the game even before the first move was played. And Kasparov was accustomed to that. And now for the first time, he was playing an opponent which really didn't have any fear and couldn't care less who it was playing. And I remember, I think it was the third game in the series against Deeper Blue where Deeper Blue made a mistake. And potentially it could have given Kasparov a winning game. So Kasparov immediately jumped on it. But Deeper Blue was not intimidated. And eventually Kasparov was intimidated because Deeper Blue was not intimidated and he lost. And ever since that time, the strongest chess player in the world has been a machine, not a human. So all of these emotions are A, inside us, and we have a tremendous capacity to generate more of them. So anger comes out because it is in you. But then you have your little machine, you keep going on and producing more and more anger, and that starts coming out. So what you have to do is drain the anger that is in you and put a stop to the machine that produces more of it. And that's true of every emotion. It's true of fear, it's true of lust, it's true of nervousness, anxiety, everything.
And now if I ask you, how do you do that? We go to a very large topic.
We go to very large.
Very difficult. Topic. It's easy to say, but it takes years of training to get there, right?
It takes years of training, but it need not take very long, and it's very simple. See, what happens, Evo, and I'm sure you've heard that, is people give advice, which is really silly. Oh, you're angry. Don't be angry. Oh, you have faith. How the hell do you not be angry? Anger comes welling up. Okay? Mm-hmm. In order to address that, if you're a man of faith, if you're a person of faith, man, woman, whatever, and you have a strong belief in God or a persona, Jesus Christ or Allah or Krishna or Rama or Buddha, then you accept that there is some very powerful entity which is controlling everything. Look at the universe, Evo. Billions of galaxies, billions of stars in each of those galaxies. Something is orchestrating all of that. Okay? We'll call this a higher power. This higher power is looking after the entire universe. It's also looking after you. So whatever this higher power is, surrender all of your emotions to this higher power. So you're angry. Recognize this higher power gave the anger to me. And I don't think that it is conducive to the life I want to lead. So I surrender that to this higher power. So whatever it is, you keep surrendering. If you suppress it, it will grow and it will explode. But if you surrender it, you're not suppressing it, you're sublimating it, you're transforming it, you're transmuting it. And if you keep doing that constantly to everything that is happening to you, around you, you will find that gradually those strong emotions, the oscillation is going down and down and down, and eventually they will disappear. And in their place comes a great calm, a quiet happiness, and a feeling of well-being that cannot be described. You have to experience it. Does that make sense to you? Huh?
If I say that I completely understand it and I will do it from tomorrow that way, I will be a big liar.
You will be a big liar, yes.
So, but I will be very open-minded to that. And whenever I have a chance, well, okay, it's not a big thing. I can let it go. I will try for sure and see the result and let
keep
you know
doing
how
it
went.
Constantly. Keep doing it constantly. Big things, little things. You will find, Evo, that you have spent your entire life trying to control things. When you were younger, you were a competitive chess player and you played opponents and you wanted to win. You wanted to control that. And sometimes the opponent was stronger and he won. Or you made a blunder and he checkmated you. And then you get angry and so on. recognize that we all spend our time trying to control the world, and the world goes its own merry way, paying no attention to what you want to have happen. And when that happens, we have trained ourselves to become angry, to become sad, to become frustrated. Why? Who told you that you cannot be happy unless the world is a particular way? Who told you that? You brainwashed yourself into it. Why can't you be perfectly happy even if you lost? Why? Who told you that you need to become famous? Who told you that you need to become rich? Why do you believe it?
Yeah, we are coming to the one of the first lessons of your course about the mental models that we are copying from different places, from parents, from authorities, from school, from society, from TV, from Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then we are often not questioning these mental models. Mm-hmm. And then we are just keeping going and going without questioning. And mm-hmm. then furthermore, we are even teaching the others, no, this is the way you should do and not the other way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I hear you. But on the other side, Ankara, emotions can be also call to actions, no?
They can be a call to action. But what you're always doing is you're looking inwardly and seeing what are the emotions that are bubbling up and what is the emotional domain to which these emotions are taking us. And when you do that, you'll find that sometimes they are calling you to action, but actions taken in the heat of emotion may not produce the result that you would like them to produce. You would like your actions to produce. So constantly be aware. You know, let's say your wife Annie makes a remark and you feel hurt. So you lash back and it feels good. Your emotions propelled you to take action. But then there is a pushback and then you get into a fight and this is not what you wanted at all. So you can train yourself so that you examine and are aware of the emotions. But when you act independent of the emotions with calm, cool judgment. What is the action that I could undertake? It is not easy. It requires constant effort on your part.
Well, as a call to action, I meant an example is someone every day feels angry in his job, in his or her job, and then it's that anger might be just okay, just sit down and learn why you are angry. Just it might be a call to action to mm-hmm. read the book or take a course or change a profession. In chess life, it can be somebody is getting angry and angry and angry over the game all the time. It might be a call to action to just stop it and do something else, no? Uh-huh. What do you think?
Absolutely. You know, you can always use anger as that. So let's assume you're angry in a job and you're angry because mm-hmm. you've got a terrible boss, because you think that what you're doing is meaningless. You think that you have great capacity and talents which are not being utilized. So there are several ways of dealing with it, and how you deal with it depends upon your temperament and where you are. One way of dealing with it is to say, I should be grateful that I have a job at all, so let me shut up and start to enjoy it. Okay, that's one way of dealing with it. Another could be taking it, this is a sign that the universe is telling me I don't belong here and I should be searching elsewhere. Or it could be, you know, all jobs are terrible and what I should really do is go out and become an entrepreneur. And that is the way that I am going to forward. There are many different ways of dealing with it. And maybe you can say emotion is the way that I'm using the force, the power to make the changes. All of these are valid and worthwhile, Evo. What you have to do is recognize where you are and how you're using this emotions are basically energy.
Yeah.
And you want to use the energy in the best possible way, but use it consciously. Okay. Ultimately, though, it becomes a lot easier, Evo, if people realize that I am not this body-mind-intellect complex that is playing chess or getting frustrated. That's a role that I am playing. And who I really am is pure spirit. I am awareness.
Let's make it very practical.
Yeah.
Uncle Ram. So there are, when we play chess, it's fun, so many possibilities, our pieces, we can do this and that, our brain works, fun game, we love it. When we win, we feel good, But there are few emotions that are catastrophical for every chess player, and what I will say, everyone will relate to that. So one is when you are like losing important game.
Mm-hmm.
Second is when you are blundering, big mistake, but there is one that beats all of them. Mm-hmm. It's when you are winning. It's almost done, and then you are making a big mistake, big blunder, and then you are losing an important game. So this is the number one catastrophe for every chess player, and it just hurts. So when that happens, should we just surrender and let the emotion go?
Yes. And I'm in a particularly good position to talk about that, Evo, because I used to play for my college and university when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, I had a poor record, by the way. And the reason I had a poor record is many times I had a completely won game, which I lost. Because I made some silly move, because I didn't foresee something, completely. It's very much like when Ding Liren was playing Gukesh and it was game 14 and he put his rook on prize. And Gukesh was able to capture and win. Silly move! Instant loser. Now, Ding Liren is a very strong player. You know, there's no way that he would have made that mistake if he had cooled it under normal circumstances. But he made it, and Gukesh won and became world champion. On a smaller scale, I've done that kind of thing many, many, many times. And here is a mental model, but it's a hugely powerful mental model to use.
Mm-hmm. I'm with all my 100% here.
Okay. And the mental model is this. You think that you are controlling things. You think that I made a mistake. And I'm inviting you to consider the mental model that everything happened the way it was supposed to. You did not make a mistake. It was destined for you to lose that game. Everything happens exactly as it is supposed to happen.
But that's difficult to...
I know. And now I get tremendous pushback. What do you mean? You know, of course I can do it. It's by fault. I didn't study enough. I didn't play enough opening variations. I didn't get enough rest. I made a mistake. That's why he won. Nothing was predestined. I made a mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe even making the mistake was predestined. Okay? Now, here is the thing. You're getting all upset because you think, I should have known better. I should have done better. In other words, the thought is in there that I am orchestrating things. It is in some way my fault. And if I win, it is some way my success. Okay? And people talk about it. Look at Jeff Bezos. You know, he did this and he worked hard and he executed. And that's why he became a multi-billionaire and Amazon is so big. Or Elon Musk, you know, he built several industries, you know, private space industry, then... electric car, and that's why he did it. And you have to do the same, and you can. And there are lots of people who will tell you, I will show you the secrets of Elon Musk, or I'll show you the secrets of Jeff Bezos, and you too can go on and become a billionaire. And they make a lot of money teaching the secrets of these people. But what if these people were simply destined? It's the way it happened. Now, understand there are ramifications, because one pushback I get all the time is, if everything is destined, why should I do anything? I'll just lie down and I'll not get out of bed at all. Try it. You won't succeed. You're incapable of simply lying down in bed and not getting out. Maybe you'll do it for a couple of hours or maybe a day, but then you'll have to get out and do something because your own nature will prevent you from doing that. But the second point, Evo, is also very important, which is you don't know. Maybe it's destined, but you don't know what is destined and you won't know until it plays out. So what you do, Evo, is you try your level best to achieve the end that you want to reach as if nothing were destined. But after you have done the very best you can, whatever the result is, you accept it because it was destined. And you surrender it to this higher power.
I'm fully
with
you.
We're getting into deep waters here, Evo.
Yes. Yes.
So understand, let me clarify again. You take action. I'm sitting to play a chess game. This is important. It's a big tournament. There's a lot riding on it. And I blunder. I try my level best, but the blunder happens. When it is over and I've lost, I accept it as, you know, this was destined to happen. And I surrender that result to this higher power we were talking about. Surrender it to Jesus, to Allah, to Krishna, to Buddha. It doesn't matter. So, or if you're atheistic, surrender it to the universe. And the moment you truly surrender it, the moment you truly apply this, you will find that you're always trying your level best. But at the same time, you're never under any kind of tension. Life is unfolding. The problem we have is we think we are making life unfold. And when you're making life unfold, there are all kinds of problems, tensions, worries, fear, anxieties, insecurities, always there. But when you allow life to unfold, and yes, you have your preferences, so you try to make life unfold the way you do, but you recognize ultimately that you don't have control. You never had control. You never will have control. So that's the balance you have to achieve.
With the first part of doing your best, and the second part that is predestined, yeah? So with the first part, that do your best, I am 107% with you. Very recently, I even wrote an article, The Days That Changed My Life. Very shortly, I will also tell for you and for the listeners who missed that. The long story short, it was I was playing a very important big tournament, first board in a $100,000 prize fund big tournament. And pre-last round, I'm spending the night with a beautiful Indonesian woman. Uh-huh. And the next day, I am horribly losing. And I was so angry. And then after the tournament, I sit down to understand what happened, why I was this time I was so angry. I realized I was angry because I didn't do my best. And from that day, I put myself every day I will do my best. If I do my best, something went wrong, something goes wrong, I'm taking it easy. And that served me in chess, that served me in life, that served me in my relationships. That serves me now in chess mode. I'm living with that. I'll just do my best. And I remember, I think it was in your course or in your book, yeah, I found the coach, the famous coach who was both in Hall of Fame as a player and as a
that
coach.
That is correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Who was saying that you just do your best. If you'd lose, it doesn't matter. You just did your best. So on this part, I'm fully with you. But with the other part that you say, it's predestined. It will, there's a strong pushback on my brain. I will need to just sleep with
that idea. Let me stop you down there and talk about it. There is strong pushback because we have been conditioned from a very, very, very young age to think that we can do it. And especially in America and the West, it's super strong. You know, it's we can do it. Everything's ours. Even in our founding documents, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness. I'm going to pursue happiness. I'm going to get happiness. And how do I become happy? I have to get this, I have to get that, etc. That's the whole model our society is based on. But you know, and you've discovered personally, that that's not true. When I become a grandmaster, I will be happy. Hey, you became a grandmaster. I don't have to tell you, you move in the circle, how many unhappy grandmasters there are.
Yes, yes, a lot.
Okay, in fact, from my limited, I must tell you that when I was younger and I came to Colombia, I used to hang out in chess clubs, and there was a big one in 74th and Broadway called Hotel Beacon. And one day I was playing at Hotel Beacon, and a rather stout gentleman was watching my game. And then he said, no, you know, you should have made this move and that move. And I got quite angry until I found out that this man was William Lombardi. And William Lombardi, as you know, was a famous grandmaster. He was Bobby Fischer's second when he was playing Spassky. And he did that. And, you know, he was a nice guy, but just looking at him, I could tell that he was not happy.
Yeah.
Okay, so here is the thing, Evo. We are determined to think, I control it, I will do things. And then sometimes unexpected things happen. We throw all of our plans into a cocked hat. And, you know, we look at that and say, you know, that was luck, that was something off there. But what if we adopt, and this is a model, okay? And the model we adopt is, it's a friendly universe. It's always doing exactly what it was supposed to do. And many times it gives us things we don't like. But that was part of our journey of learning, of growth and development. And everything that happens to us is a tool that we can use for our growth. So if something really terrible happens, there are basically two choices. One, I can feel frustrated, depressed, angry, anxious, nervous, and say, why did this happen to me? And I live in a miserable world. Or I can look at it and say, I have been given a very powerful tool to work on my growth. So let me use it as skillfully as I can. And having used that tool as skillfully as I can, maybe I think I'm using it skillfully, but somebody else will say, oh my God, what a mess you're making of it. I only use it as skillfully as I can, because I am where I am. And whatever the result is, I hand it over to this higher power. You caused all of that. You deal with it. I'm just doing the best I can. Lincoln said it very well in the second inaugural, where he said, with malice towards none, with charity for all, I will do the right as God gives me to see the right. Notice, it doesn't say I will do the right thing. He says, I will do the right as God gives me to see the right. What God gives me to see the right today may be different from what he gave me to see the right tomorrow. So tomorrow I will do what he gives me to see the right then. But at any given time, I will do the right as God gives me to see the right. And whatever happens, happens.
Well, with that, whatever happens, happens. Good. I'm again with that for now, yeah. Just do your best. It's not in your control. Okay, and whatever unfolds, unfolds. Fine. All good. But thinking that everything is predestined, it's kind of anti-motivating. It's kind of like, I think it might be a very dangerous mindset for so many people. It's just okay, it's just
could be very dangerous. It could be very dangerous. You say everything is predestined, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to lie back and so on. And the antidote to that is, action is with you and you're always acting. So if you say everything is predestined and go back from the beginning, how do you know it is not predestined for you to be big and rich and famous? So you try. If it works, fantastic. If it doesn't work, fantastic. But as it said in the case of John Wooden, who is a basketball player whom you mentioned before, he reached the Basketball Hall of Fame both as a player and a coach. He said, you do the very best you can. If you do the very best you can, the probability you'll reach your goal increases dramatically. But here is the other thing. When you do the best you can, you find that the learning and growth and the joy come in you, which will not come in you if you say, I'm going to sit back and do nothing. Because the mistake we all make, Evo, is we think that the reason we do our very best, the reason it's important, is because we reach our goal. Whether you reach your goal or not is beyond you. It's the universe unfolding. But when you do your very best, the learning and growth happen. And that is the real benefit of trying your level best. Okay? Take any sport. A few people completely dominated. For many years, tennis was completely dominated by Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, and to a lesser extent, Andy Murray. For 20 years, they dominated it, okay? So what about all the other players who were also pretty damn good players, but they would run into a final or a semifinal if they beat one of those three and they'd lose? So they can go around. I'm sure many of them went around feeling immensely frustrated. Or they can go around saying, you know, I'm going to try my level best. And, you know, if it works, fine. If it doesn't work, that's the way the cookie is. But I am not going to let my emotional domain be dominated by what I did not achieve, could not achieve. But I'm going to celebrate whatever success I have. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be trying harder. But it does mean that I'm not going to occupy the emotional domain of rage, frustration, and all the rest of that. That is a conscious choice that you have to make and you have to work, because it's not easy.
Yeah, with that I also agree. With that I
look
also
at chess.
Agree.
You know, there are a few players who are dominating it. Carlsen has been dominating it for a long time, and now there are others who are coming up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Kukesh, you know, became world champion. And I think that his speech after he won the world championship was one of the best I've ever heard in a similar situation, where he said, I'm not the strongest player, Carlsen is, and I have weaknesses and I'm going to try and address them. And I hope I'll be here for the top for a long time. But who knows? I'm just going to try my best.
Yeah. With occupying emotional domain, with that part, again, I completely agree. There are so many people who are in the top 10 in the world.
Yep.
And chess lovers would just give everything to be there, to play on that top level and play with Carlsen and play World Championship match, play yep. When thousands of people around the world watching them, they are living while playing their favorite game. Yep. But if you look at those people and ask them, maybe they feel completely miserable, maybe they feel completely lost in the life because
maybe,
it's just the emotional domain they took. So with that part, I also completely digest and I am there. The only thing that it's like, I will need to work on it is the predestined part.
Yeah, you have to think about it carefully, and you can't accept something by an effort of will.
Yeah,
you just
yeah.
have to think about it and see how many times things happen. Okay? Like, think of how many people want desperately to be president of the United States, and they try, they go to the primary. So many people tried. Okay? Gerald Ford never wanted to be president, but he became president. And there's so many people who tried and they didn't succeed. If you look at it, you'll find always there is something, some X factor, call it luck, call it chance, whatever. But I prefer to call it predestined. Have you seen Lawrence of Arabia?
Whom?
Lawrence of Arabia is a movie, and it talked about Lawrence, who was a very important British colonial figure in the Second World War. And Lawrence essentially united all of the Arabs to work with Britain against their enemies in the First World War. And in the movie Lawrence of Arabia, there is a very powerful scene where they're riding on camel through the desert, and when daylight comes, one of Lawrence's associates, his camel doesn't have the rider. He's fallen off somewhere back. So he tries to persuade the others to go back and fill him. And they say, no, no, you know, it's a vast desert and we don't know where he is. In any case, he's already dead. It is written. So Lawrence goes back by himself with a spare camel and he comes back in 2 days and he has the man tied up to his saddle and he's dehydrated, but he's going to be fine. And Lawrence looks at the Arab and says, nothing is written. And the Arabs say, yes, for you, nothing is written. So that's one of the highlights of the movie. But if you go deeper, what if everything was written, including the fact that Lawrence would go back and find the person and bring him back? There we don't go. Now, here is something for you to understand, Evo. Can I prove that everything is written? Of course not. But can you prove that everything is not written? Of course not. So this is where you run into a dilemma, if you will. So you have to think about it.
Okay. All right.
Don't reject it. Don't accept it. Just think about it. Think about it in the context of your own life. It's like, is the universe friendly? Can I prove the universe is friendly? No. Can you prove that the universe is not friendly? No. That's why Einstein said the most important question you will ever ask yourself is the universe friendly? Because whether anything is predestined or not, or whether anything is friendly, whether the universe is friendly or not, that occurs between your ears, not outside.
Okay, I will sleep with that idea. Meanwhile, let me ask you this. Do you still at like at this level where you are, do you yourself like get angry sometimes, lose your temper?
Yes, all the time.
That happens.
Of course. All the time.
Like, I was
talk to my wife, she'll tell you.
I was very interested, like, because even the blunders, people think that top players don't blunder. No, everyone blunders, everyone have big mistakes. Yeah, I was wondering, like, what you are doing. How is that? Like, when you know that just surrender, just that, it's just emotional domain we are taking, but you're still taking anger.
The force of conditioning is so strong, Evo, that it takes a long time. This is not a journey of days or weeks. This is a journey of years and decades. So yes, I do get angry, but I'm much quicker at recognizing it, much quicker at letting it go. And I do not live in the emotional domain of anger. Anger just comes and it goes. Mm-hmm. I give an example of this in one of my books. It's like you have a baby and it's happily chugging away, drinking milk. And you take the bottle of milk away. And if cries and his face grows red and his arms go up and down, and there's no doubt that it's a very angry baby, and they give it the bottle of milk back. And in seconds, it's back, drinking milk, happily, peacefully going up. The baby has experienced the full force of anger, and then it's let it go.
Mm.
Our problem is that we don't let things go. We hold on to it. Every time you have a meeting with someone, you remember all the past interactions you had with that person and how that person insulted you, and then anger rises in you even before this interaction has happened. So that is it. We have to let it go.
That answer that even you are getting angry often, it is both inspiring and disappointing. Inspiring in a way that, okay, it's normal that after learning so many things, I am getting angry. And disappointing is where I thought I will get to the point where it will be perfect. It will be ananda, where it's bliss, it's happiness.
Oh, anger can exist even in ananda. Even when you're angry, you can be completely blissful. And at times, for many of my coaching clients, I advise them to be angry, but to be angry on the surface as a tool for conveying something and getting it done. But deep inside, they're always calm. They're always at peace. So use everything as a tool. Sometimes you have to show the demonstration of angry, and sometimes maybe you're really angry, but you don't hold on to it. You let it go. And whatever arises, arises, and you look at it and you use it as a tool. It takes a lot of practice, Evo. It is not easy. It's a, this, as I mentioned, when somebody starts taking my course, this is a rest of your life journey. We're not talking days, weeks, months. We're talking years, yeah, lustrums, decades.
When you said that you can be angry, but still be in that ananda, in the bliss, mm-hmm, I just recalled something fascinating that happened just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an app that at the end of it I'm tracking. It has also AI included, and it's asking me different questions so I can reflect day. So I put my thoughts there, I see it more clear. And it's one of the questions it asks, like, how do I feel? And it offers me 10, 20 emotions, and I pick among them. Mm-hmm. Like grateful, happy, angry, whatever there is, yeah? So I pick some emotion, and then the AI asks me the question, how do you balance? I don't remember the exact question, but it was, how do you deal with when you are calm and worried at the same time? And I realized, yes, I picked both emotions I had yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was both calm and I was both anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, yeah, but it's correct answer. I really had both. And yeah, the AI was, how do you do that? And now when you just said it, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it was both. interesting. Let me ask you this, Uncle Rao. I found that you are saying that all the problems are inner, right?
Yes.
So one question. Let's say I feel happier, my vibe is better, my mood is better when I am in, let's say, Vietnam, mm-hmm, than I am in Armenia, let's say. Yeah, just mm-hmm, suppose. How is that? It's just clearly I see in that country there is sun, I feel much better. Here I feel a little bit less. Yeah, uh-huh. It's just a hypothetical question, yeah? And at the same time, like, where there is a sun, I feel better. When there is gloomy weather, I feel worse. And no matter how much I'm like, yeah, it's inner, but it still seems outside as well.
Correct. That is simply because of the conditioning that we have been expected. There are two things to remember, Evo. Let me give you an example. Have you ever been in the presence of someone who is so angry, so upset, that just being in his presence sets you on edge?
Yes. Oh. Yes. And it takes lots of energy to keep calm. And
right. So recognize what is happening, okay? People are always giving off vibrations, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And this mm-hmm person's vibrations are so strong that they grabbed you by the neck and pulled you into their vortex of upset, mm-hmm, okay? Your job is to be so firmly anchored in your place of peace and calm and serenity that you grab them by their throat and pull them into your place of calm and serenity. That's the journey that we're on, okay? Millions of people, thousands of people went into the presence of Ramana Maharshi, who is a great Indian sage. And they all reported that they had major problems, financial issues, marital issues, children issues. But when they came into his presence after a few minutes, a great calm enveloped them. And not that the problems disappeared, but the problems simply became stuff I have to deal with, not overwhelming sorrow. Okay? So it shows you that there is an inner world that you're living in. Now, when you're in a place like New York or Armenia, there are a lot of people around who are sending off these vibrations. So collectively, they have a force upon you. And when you go to some place like Bali or Indonesia or something like that, then a different vibration is coming out on aggregate. So you feel that. And when you go to a busy place, just being in New York City, for example, in Manhattan, your blood, you know, your thoughts go faster, your blood seems more ready to boil. So it's just the nature of the cumulative vibrations that people are sending off. But then a good friend of mine said, you know, why don't you come and why don't you go to Lapland? Lapland, there's, you may not see two people the entire day. And just the scenic beauty of that will bring great calm. I haven't been there, but he's invited me with that. And I'm sure he's correct because I've been to scenic places and all of a sudden all of that drains out. But you can't always be in scenic places. But what you can always do is be aware of where you are and recognize that there are these outside influences which are having this big impact on you.
Okay.
And so the more you recognize it, the easier it is for you to put a barrier between that and say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. A lot of the times when you're the present someone who's upset and you start getting upset, if you recognize I'm letting this person dictate how I feel, if you consciously recognize that, you can prevent it. But most of the time, we're not aware internally if this is what we're allowing to happen. That is the thing. And the solution to that always is awareness. You have to be aware, and this is a 24/7 endeavor. Not a, I'm going to do it now and then forget about it.
You said awareness and I recalled again Anthony What's de Mello, that? Our favorite. You said awareness. Yeah. I recalled Anthony de Mello, awareness.
Yes.
So,
fantastic book, yes.
Yeah.
He is also one of the people who had a tremendous influence on me.
Yeah. So, coming to continue the previous question, someone has different vibes in the USA. He has three countries, USA, Dubai, and Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes his vibes is in a way he wants to go to New York and that place where everything goes fast. And sometimes he feels better in Vietnam. Should he go this inside and just fight it inside, or if he doesn't like the vibes, or he should move really the place where he likes the vibe?
And the short answer is, if you have the freedom and the flexibility to do that, it's not a bad idea to go where you find the vibes are more conducive. But sometimes
you cannot. Yeah.
And sometimes when you find you cannot because of reasons, your family, your business, or, you know, you don't have the visa to go where you want, or whatever the reason, if you can't, ultimately, as Ramana Maharshi said, you carry the world within you. There's a famous story where one of Lincoln's nephews was very unsettled, didn't have any job, you know, all kinds of emotional and other problems. And he asked Lincoln for a sum of money so he could go someplace and do something. And Lincoln gave him the money. And then after a few months, he asked him, are you any better? And he says, I suspect not, because you have taken with you the cause of all of your problems, which is yourself. So it's there. So if you can and you are able to do that, by all means, do that. But wherever you are, whenever you are, be aware and keep recognizing that the world you live in is not a real world. It's a construct. You created it with your mental chatter and your mental models. And having
stories you tell yourself,
having created it, you then experience it as you've created it. And you say, oh my God, this happened to me. But you're always experiencing the world exactly as you created the world. Always.
You still have goals, right?
What's that?
You are not feeling, okay, everything is predestined. I can just, you still have goals and you are moving forward.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Um, Yet at the same time, there is in one of your books, your life is perfect, you don't need anything.
Correct.
If you are on a certain consciousness level.
Mm-hmm.
So does it mean it's not that consciousness level? You are still going to that consciousness level?
I am always going on there. I recognize the power of this and I'm working on myself. Everything that I do is a working on myself, Evo. And sometimes I'm a bad student, sometimes I'm an excellent student. And it kind of varies. But everything I'm doing is I'm working on myself.
Okay, this question I have, which is I'm not finding the answer for a while, and I felt like, okay, you are the best person I can ask you. And when I was going through your courses and reading the books, I was putting questions, and I was like, one day I will meet this Rose Rikuman and myself, I'm going to ask him this question, and you know that you knew that after 2 months I will be able to ask you this. Mm-hmm. You were telling about Ram Dass, who was selling his CDs, his knowledge, for just $5.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when his father asked him, like, why that? He said, because that's the price of producing it.
Uh-huh.
And when the father asked, like,
why not
you
hire?
Make money? Uh-huh. Yeah, this, he answered, I'm just serving. Just like you didn't take money from your uncle, from our uncle. So the same way I am serving family and you are talking about extended family and living the life as a way that the world is your extended family. Did I take the lessons correctly?
Absolutely. Bingo. I'm super, very few people have followed my work to that extent. Yes.
No, I went very, very carefully. Mm-hmm. So my question is, how do you find a balance between serving others, helping your extended family, and also going forward to your own dreams?
Okay. And the short answer to that, Evo, is this is something that evolves as you grow. Okay? And as I mentioned before, the big problem for you, for me, for everyone is we have been conditioned. And in our conditioning, some people are close. My father, my brother, my wife, my child, they are close, they are family. And everybody else, they're them off there. And what Ram Dass was able to do was he was able to see that the entire world is family. There is no them. Okay? You can have that as, if you will, a goal. But don't kid yourself you've achieved the goal when you haven't. But what you can do is constantly widen the circle that you include as this is us. Constantly widen it. And to a very large extent, you've already done this, Evo. Because when we had the conversation yesterday, and you were talking about what you want to do to all the people who were subscribers for Chess Mode. You don't just want them to become better at chess. You want them to enjoy the game and you want them to grow as people. See, already you're making the circle much bigger. Tomorrow you want to do it not just to members of Chess Mode, but you know the world at large. I'm constantly talking, I'm giving talks, I'm appearing on podcasts, I have a list of several thousand, and all I'm genuinely interested in is helping them raise their level of consciousness. Because that will make them happier, that will make them realize that they're living in a dream world and they can break out of it. So I'm reaching as many people as I can. Whoever is supposed to benefit will benefit. And I'm just doing the best I can every day. Consciously. And that is what you are already doing. Just do more of it with awareness. the fact that we're having such a conversation and you plan to put it out to your community and ask for help, the very fact you're doing that is an attempt to broaden the horizon. As Ramdas said, show me someone who's not Uncle Henry and I will happily rip him off. He just had a much bigger concept of who us is. And eventually you'll find that you're no different. Everybody is part of that. You're expanding your consciousness. Some of it you try deliberately, but more of it as you travel on this journey, it'll happen automatically. And even the person who you look at and say, oh, how cruel, how unbelievably evil that person is. And even for that person, you will feel great compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. I have this question from a friend when he learns that I am going to talk to you. This is a question that we were talking together and we didn't have the answer, so I will ask you. He said, you know, of whatever you are learning there, and he knew for like my journey for years I'm into this trying to find answer, trying to find more calm, more happiness, more bliss, more meaning. And I think I'm doing quite well as like in chess there is rating. So you raise your rating, you get a title. In life you don't have that. But I feel I have raised my rating significantly. Yeah, still I am very far. But he said, I'm afraid to go your journey, Ava. And he explains that, what if I just go deeper into myself? And what if suddenly I feel I don't need anything and I stop doing my business and I betray my investors and I betray everyone and I just stop and go and become a monk? He said, I'm afraid of that.
That is the ego basically fighting Evo, and the ego is a very cunning adversary, and it will always find your weak link, the weak link in your armor, to prevent you from going this. And yeah, you know, it could happen, but it's very unlikely to happen, because as you go on this journey, whatever needs to be done will be done, but you are not doing it. It is happening. Let me give you an example. In your life, Evo, there are dozens of times when you do things and you never think you're doing it. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you go to the toilet, you take a shower. These things are happening. You never think, I am Evo, I'm brushing my teeth, right? But then you come to work. Oh, you know, I am CEO of Chess Mood. I am doing it. I have to think about whether I want to spend money to develop this particular app. I have to think about whether I'm going to spend on advertising to get more customers. I have to think about whether I want to invite someone to be on a podcast and will it be useful to that. I am doing things. I am thinking. But you know, you can be in a space where all of these things are just happening. Life is unfolding. You're not making it unfold. So to answer your question, he can go through life when things are happening, the business is being run, his investors are being taken care of, but he's not doing it. It is happening. It's happening through him. And ultimately, it may very well come to the point where it says, okay, this part of my life is done, I'm down. And that's fine too. Trust it. I want to read something to you, if I may.
Please. I like very much the quotes you are having in your books, and I also liked very much what you read yesterday to me when we were speaking about something. You just went, so you took some of the book, opened the page.
Yes.
So please.
So here is something. When you have become one with the self, a great power takes you over and runs your life for you. It looks after your body. It puts you in the right place at the right time. It makes you say the right things to the people you meet. This power takes you over so completely you no longer have any ability to decide or discriminate. The ego thinks, I must do this. or I should not do that is no longer there. The self simply animates you and makes you do all the things that need to be done. So tell your friend, you'll be there, you'll continue doing what you're doing, you'll do it from a sense of great peace, and whatever needs to happen, and will happen better than if you were letting your ego deal with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he's ready, he will take that journey himself. You've discovered it yourself. You've been on this journey for a long time. And how many people have you run into who, when you talk about this, have no understanding of what you're talking about? And not only do they have no understanding, they think that you're kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's why I don't talk about such things to many people. There are very few I can talk.
Exactly openly. Correct. Those who are ready will get it. Those who are not will think that you're crazy. And some of them might even try to put you away.
Yeah. Yes.
That is the nature of it. So your job is to continue working on yourself because you know that this is valuable. In fact, it may even be the only thing that's valuable, and you know it. And you know it deep inside. You don't know it because I told you that. In fact, you sought me out because you recognize the truth of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying, the truth is so powerful because of the masters from whom I draw my material.
Yeah.
I'm the FedEx guy, as I told you yesterday.
You're the FedEx guy, yeah. We both are FedEx guys.
Yes. Exactly.
My dear Uncle Rao, respecting your time and... I'm not going to be very now egoistic and keep you even if I want, because part of me knows that we will talk more and more together. I want to ask you this question that I'm asking all our guests, and you have very different approach to goals, to journey. So what's your wish to our Chasmut family, to my champions, to community who are listening? And who will listen, who have goals to raise certain rating,
uh-huh.
to get titles, they still have goals, they are going to the journey.
Mm-hmm.
What wish you have for them?
The wish I have for them is that they find fulfillment in whatever they are striving for. But to understand that the reward is the striving itself and not the reaching. To enjoy the journey, every step of the journey, whether you're moving from 600 to 800 or you're moving from 2500 to 2600, the journey itself is its own reward. And enjoy every step of it. And wherever you are is the right place for you at that time. Recognize that very clearly. And the moment you recognize it, you don't have to do anything. Joy will automatically come into your life. Don't pursue it. Allow it to come in. It's already there inside you. You don't have to find it. You don't have to get it. You simply have to unblock the things inside you that are preventing you from realizing it.
You said enjoy the journey. And yesterday we were also, when we were talking, we were finding many mutual things. Yep. And you know what is my signature of at the end of my emails?
What?
I write to our Chasmut community whenever I have newsletters, yep. I'm sharing something. At the end I have, with best wishes and love for your growth and fun journey.
Oh. Yes. Completely. Exactly.
That's what I'm writing it for. It's been already years. It's mm-hmm. not just growth.
Completely.
It's just growth and fun journey.
Yep.
And this is what you just wished.
Exactly.
To break the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Dr. Rao, dear Uncle Rao, thank you very much for coming, sharing these things, challenging me.
Sure.
Bombarding my brain with some of your ideas that it's still like, huh? it's predestined. What? Pushback. So thank you for everything. Thank you for all every word. That I'm saying this thank you also for the people who are listening. They feel grateful, but they cannot say it now. Maybe they will leave comments. I'm saying it for them too. Thank you for your time and sharing this everything.
My pleasure entirely, Evo. And if you find out that your community has questions and they would like to hear more from me, we'll do another one in a few months.
Super, super. 100% I'm sure they will have. And we will have another great episode. Thank you very much. I will remind you these words. Absolutely. I will get back to you with their questions. It will be very interesting because this is a top. We were talking about some topics that many, I'm sure, at some point they just clicked X button and what the heck they are talking about. Uh-huh. But anyone who kept until the end, I'm sure they will have questions. So if we can get another episode with their questions, plus I'll update some of my questions, it'll be great. Thank you very much, dear Uncle Rao. Warm hugs. Thank you very much.
Wonderful, Evo. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Champions, I'm grateful for your trust in spending an hour of your day with me and Dr. Rao. I truly hope that even a small part of our conversation brings a meaningful impact on your happiness. Please share in the comments. What resonated with you? What part are you taking into your life? And if you have any questions, put in the comments. I'll ask him in our next episode. You will also find the links in the descriptions to dive deeper into Dr. Rao's teachings. Take care, my friend, and stay awesome.